You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hey everybody, Justin Zarian here. If you like what you hear on this show, on Digital Noise, or anything else on this site, please consider being a subscriber. There are hours and hours of content waiting for you there, including, starting at $2 a month, our news podcast, The Breakfast Pub, which I write the notes for. But at $5 a month, you can also get access to stuff like The Gathering, our party podcast. Or at $10 and higher, you can get access to our movie commentaries, which tons of fun, lots of great stuff there. And, you know, this is the way that we keep the site going, to be able to provide hours of entertainment for you guys. We also want to give a shout out to our sponsor, once again, Oscar Blues Brewery, the original brewery to put a craft beer in a can. And they just have tons of stuff available for you. Go look up oscarblues.com, that's Oscar with a K, to be able to find a brewery near you. With that, hope you enjoy the show. Cue the music.
Benjamin Bambino, welcome back to One of Us.
Hey,
you want some pizza?
Hey,
Bambino, you want some spaghetti? I go get the Giuseppe to make it, and Luigi will get you the cheese.
And if you think that was stereotypical Italian, wait until you watch this movie.
Yes. Okay. This movie. Wow. Let me just say, there's a line in it. You know, every time I make the sauce, I say three Hail Marys. And it just gets worse from there.
Oh, man. People, this movie is Little Italy. This is a Canadian production.
Emphasis on the Italy.
Yes. Man, okay, so this movie is so Italian, I had to get back one of my friends, who is Italian, in fact, Ben.
Hello. Pleased to meet you.
I need to know this, Ben. Are all Italians like these people here?
Exactly like them. There was a perfect rendition of all, especially New York Italians. It was just, we are all exactly like this. I couldn't be more grateful to the filmmakers. Donald Petri, thank you so much for directing this film and showing the world who we are.
In the broadest, most generic stereotypes possible.
Yeah. Well, what's great is also, if you thought there were only going to be Italian stereotypes, of course not. There's a great Indian stereotype and then a great black TSA worker stereotype. It's caricatures of caricatures. You know,
oh my god, and even some characters that don't make sense. There's a Chinese dude who's an Italian in this movie, more or less.
Yeah, named Luigi. You know?
And even the point when they finally address that, because at some point I had to think to myself, like, I'm sure he's Asian, but he's being played like he's just a dude from Italy.
Yeah.
And then they spell it out just like, oh no, he just puts on that affectation because he was raised in an Italian community. I'm just like, okay, well, I don't know what to stereotype this movie anymore.
Yeah, so for example, everything in their Little Italy is green, white, and red constantly.
Of course.
And so two people are feuding. So there are two families that are feuding. So one of them gets green and the other gets red. it's wow. No, like for example, it opens with two people remembering their childhood. You know, two later played by Hayden Christensen and Emma Roberts, who are 10 years apart, but as kids, they're the exact same age.
Okay, I gotta say that. I gotta say something about that, because the movie starts with them as children, who are clearly the same age as each other. You know, like, very clearly, like, maybe an year-old difference.
Yeah.
And then you see them all grown up, and Hayden Christensen is very clearly, like, over 30 years old, and Emma Roberts is, like, barely our age.
37, Emma Roberts, 27. We're the same age as kids. Of course.
He's got giant forehead wrinkles. He's very clearly not the same age as her.
Yeah, I mean, he's aging more gracefully than I'm sure I will, but he's got a full decade on her. But yeah, as kids, their prank, yeah, this is how it introduces the film. They fill like a little, what are they called? Little firecrackers into tomatoes and eggplants. That's their prank on people.
Yeah, no. Apparently, if you're Italian in this movie, all you can do is cook pizza, sometimes work on cars, go to church,
Of course. And smoke a cigar.
That's about... Smoke a cigar. And that's about it. Or you sleep a lot. No, you know, just people sleeping on porches.
Or you could go to a pizza contest that has three female strippers in green, white, and red bikinis, and then three male strippers in green, white, and red... Green, white, and red bicycle shorts. Because...
Okay, I got... Oh, sorry. I gotta say the plot at some point.
Let's get into the plot.
Okay, sorry. People, there's not really much to say of the plot. So, yeah, like we said, Hayden Christensen and Emma Roberts are childhood friends who have grown up where their families used to work at a pizzeria together, but because of an incident that's really, really stupid when you see the reveal at the very end of the movie, they decide, you know what? We don't work together no more. We're going to open competing pizzerias right next door to each other. And sure enough, it's...
like all good businessmen.
And like all good Romeo and Juliet movies, because they're in love with each other, but they don't want to admit it, and there's a whole bunch of other stuff, and... Basically, this is like if you took Romeo and Juliet and Moonstruck, that really great Cher film from way back in the day, and you took out all the humanity and nuance from Moonstruck and just made it a giant cartoon. You know, it's just literally every single possible...
A cartoon a cartoon, but played out by live-action humans. It is.
And even weirder, like, this movie will reference every single quote you can think of from an Italian movie. Godfather lines, they're there. Moonstruck lines, they're there. You know, just anything with an Italian character that you can think of in a movie, it's in this movie.
Yeah. So, well, real quickly, to the point of the plot, Mark Kermode, the BBC reviewer, film reviewer, nice dude, he did a series recently about different film genres, and he was talking about this series he's done. I'm outside the UK, so I can't have access to it because it's on the BBC. But he mentioned how one of the problems with the romantic comedy genre is it's the tightest of the genres. So, for example, horror films, you can have a variety of different kind of scary things happen, variety of different locations, and the people can die at the end or they can survive. There's a great range within the horror genre, but the romantic comedy genre, the reason it's kind of faded out recently is because of how tightly defined that genre is. You have to have two people meet and have an instant connection, but then struggle to decide to start dating, and then start dating, then break up, and then get back together at the very end. Like, it's the tightest of the genres. And so, boy, does that fact shine in this film. Boy, is it clear that the every issue with that genre is made just very clear, very shiningly obvious. And it's rough.
Literally every single trope is addressed here. Even to the point, I'm sorry, I'm going to spoil this part here. The movie ends with a climactic scene in an airport.
Of course. Because of course.
The biggest trope of all romantic comedies. And I'm like, no. I saw a taxi coming up. I'm like, this can't be. This can't be the part where they go to the airport.
No. Yes.
And sure enough, that's what happened. Man. This movie, I mean,
could it be that one of the members of the couple was going to fly away and the other one was at the airport there to stop them? Could that be a thing that was happening? Could that be the airport scene you're referring to?
It's not like it's never been done before where everyone in the group, everyone in the audience suddenly turns around to acknowledge the scene and they're so emotionally invested. Not worried about their flights that they have to get through because they're stopped at a metal detector. Not worried about being late for business trips. Just like, I really wonder if Hayden Christensen and Emma Roberts get together in this moment.
This guy, Donald Petrie, I believe is how you pronounce his name, the director. He did How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, Miss Congeniality, Just My Luck, Richie Rich.
Oh, so he made all the films that this film ripped off.
Yes. Mystic Pizza, even a film seemingly about a pizza, back in 1988. So he's definitely retreading some of his old steps here.
Okay, so clearly this guy's film taste as a director has not evolved past the year 1987. Because, if you didn't know who Hayden Christensen and Emma Roberts were, and you just said, oh, this is a really great movie from 1995 or 1987, you'd believe it. Because it feels like a movie that was made in that time period.
Yeah. With a bunch of extra red, green, and white stuff. A bunch of extra prop. They raided the prop houses to find anything with red, green, and white in it and just vomited it up on the screen. It's
it's just a huge mishmash of cliches. And, you know, it's weird because, I mean, I can rag on this film for a while because there's all the stereotypes, there's all the predictability, the dialogue's not very great. In fact, there's some real big groaner jokes. And especially, I'm sorry, the stuff with the Indian characters, for one thing, they're barely in the film. They're like in it for like maybe like 5-3 minutes a piece kind of thing, the two main characters.
And of course, one of these main characters has to make a joke about karma in those 5 minutes.
One of them has to reference Slumdog Millionaire, of course. That's a joke that happens in there. And then there's the peak de resistance, the joke where the male Indian character goes to this old people's house full of horny old ladies, as if we had another stereotype from the 90s. You know, the horny old ladies who get there and party their butts off at the pizzeria. And just like,
Well, here's... So, it's funny. We're talking about the lack of originality in this film, and it's actually best summed up by one of the few non-Italian characters. There's a scene in the beginning where Emma Roberts' character goes to this fancy chef school in London. And so she's there, and she's got her strict perfectionist chef teacher. And
who is definitely the not Gordon Ramsay character of the story.
The not Gordon Ramsay character, which is even mentioned, that it's Gordon Ramsay, but more attractive. You know, it's the, so she shows up. She makes two different jokes about two people's failed foods. The first joke is about a limp asparagus, where she jokes about how it's, limp, just like my last husband. And she flops it around, and it's an obvious penis joke. Okay, that exact same joke was made, not in the film, The 100-Foot Journey with Helen Mirren, but in the trailer for that film. Where Helen Mirren is a strict chef, and she picks up a floppy asparagus, and she makes a penis joke about how it's floppy, just like a bad penis. That's in the trailer of the 100-Foot Journey, a bad Helen Mirren film. And it's,
you know,
and
that's it's funny thing. Like, now you say that, this movie is pretty much the exact same movie as 100-Foot Journey, just sucky, you know?
Yeah, and then also, the next joke she makes, the strict chef, is she goes to someone's dish that has too much oil in it, and she says, you've used so much oil, if you used any more, the U.S. Army is going to invade that plate. So an old meme and a joke taken from a trailer of a better film. So that's the entirety of this character. And then she walks back into her office. It's just, that's this film. That summed up that film right there. We're going to rip off the trailer of another film, and then we're also going to rip off an old meme. And we're gonna play it straight, like you're supposed to actually laugh at this content, not laugh at the fact that we're doing this. You gotta laugh at this content because it's so clever.
Okay, so we've kvetched about this movie a lot, even in this 10 minutes we've already been recording. I'm gonna say this, that the only things I can say are kind of good about this movie. It's actually nice to see Hayden Christensen in a new film. I mean, he's definitely playing it very Italian, like a, yo, my name is this guy from this place kind of thing. But he was likable enough, and same with Emma Roberts. Neither of them are great in this movie, but they're trying their hardest with such terrible material, you know?
There is a sense of that. It's a pretty rough New York accent from Hayden Christensen, which I'm sure no one's surprised to hear. Yeah, and so, because not only am I half Italian, my dad's Italian side comes from New York, and so I visit there pretty regularly, and so this is a documentary for you. Oh, exactly. I got the full brunt of the cringe. The full cringe was unloaded on me, yeah.
You know, that's the thing, like, I'm trying to salvage good things to say about this, where I'm like, there was never a point when I was just angry at this movie, but, you know, even I messaged you before, I'm like, oh, you know, it's not bad, it's not great, it's not good, it's not bad, but now I've had some time to think about it, and I'm just kind of like, you know, I can't think of much else that's really complimentary about this movie. This movie is just really, really lame. Just, like, literally, there was a point when I was watching this movie that I started to just look away from my computer screen and go do something else, and I didn't miss anything. Like, literally, I filled in the gaps on the few spots that I wasn't paying attention to. Just like, okay, so they said this, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened. And sure enough, I rewound it, and it was exactly the way I thought it was. So,
no, in all seriousness, you could watch this with some friends, like you're watching The Room, like a very well shot Room, you know, like very well shot The Room, and you can have fun with it that way. Unironically, just have fun with it as an absolute cringe fest. You know, it's just,
yeah.
There is. It's not one of those films that's trying to, that's, you know, is terrible, but it was trying too hard to be good for it to really be fun as terrible. This, I think there may have been some self-awareness. I don't know. I really can't piece together how this got made. It didn't
feel like it watching it, that they were self-aware.
But yeah, it definitely didn't feel like they were self-aware. But there is some fun to be had as just an incredible cringe fest. You know, an incredible laugh at the wrong spots, laugh at the spots the filmmakers thought were going to be serious kind of film. And speaking of how did this film get made? So I remember, you know, when she, so I mentioned that Emma Roberts was in the UK. So she flies back home, and for some reason, this UK flight to New York is on an Air Canada plane. Okay. And then
of course.
And then at the end, it said, there in the middle of the credits, it said, you know, and a very special thanks to Air Canada. And I'm thinking, was this funded by a Canadian airline? Is that?
Well, no. It was shot in Canada, technically. So it's a Canadian production set in America. I believe that.
Yeah. No part of Little Italy looked like a New York area. So I have no trouble believing that.
You know, when most movies, they try to trick you into thinking that Toronto is New York? This one never attempted that at once to make you think you're actually in New York.
There was no CGI Empire State Building in the background, or that was not even a concern. Like, it was here's an explosion of green, white, and red, and we're gonna give them some cheesy New York accents, and if you're on board, you're on board. If you're not, you're not.
You know, and looking at this film, I can't even say anything really about this ensemble cast. Like, it's full of people you've seen in these kind of movies. Alyssa Milano, Danny Aiello, Andrea Martin, Jane Seymour, you know, just people who, they're trying so hard to make, you know, diamonds out of crap, you know? They're just trying so hard with this film, and it's just to a zero sum for most of them. Like, they don't look bad as actors per se, but it doesn't do anyone any benefits being in this film, you know?
Yeah, it's I don't know. Emma Roberts, though, it's funny because I can almost see Hayden Christensen. Obviously, that's a star that's faded quite a bit, and
it's so sad. This guy used to be a really talented person, and now people only cast him this stuff. It's so sad.
And then you've got a bunch of characters, but Emma Roberts, she seems to be doing pretty well recently. She was in that We're the Millers. She actually was a little bit ago, but she's been in a bunch of TV. I was looking at her page a little bit ago. That movie Nerve.
Well, the last major thing I remember was American Horror Story was the last big one I could think of.
Yes, her. American Horror Story, and then you also Nerve, which I think did all right. I mean, I didn't see it, but she seemed to be like, it seems like a, it's not a fading star. It seemed like a rising star. And so I don't know what she was doing in this. I don't know, you know, what our agent made her, convince her that this was a good idea. And so it's a very strange choice for her as, you know, an actress.
Maybe she's like Jennifer Lawrence. She just likes to date older guys. You know, like Silver Linings Playbook, where Bradley Cooper's a decade older than her in that one too.
Yeah. No,
at least in Silver Linings Playbook, they didn't establish that they were childhood friends at the same age.
Yeah. How funny would that have been in Silver Linings Playbook? They show Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence as kids the same age playing around. It's just, oh my gosh. No, he definitely looks the full decade older than her. No, nothing wrong with that. That's what a 37-year-old looks like. I'm sure I'll age less gracefully, like I said. But it's passing that off as he's the equal age to her was distracting, as if there weren't enough distractions in this film.
Yeah, no, it's just, this movie is just a waste of time. So let's just boil down to final ratings here. You know what, I'll go first, that way you can have the final thought. But all right. This movie, literally, again, you could watch any other romantic film, any other, you know what, you could watch films from the 80s and 90s that are much better than this movie. They're less stereotypical, they're less stupid, they're much funnier. Just go watch Moonstruck again. Go watch, go watch any of the movies this director's made. Mystic Pizza is better than this.
Yeah, Miss Congeniality.
Miss Congeniality, it is this level of goofy, which now that you pointed that out, this makes a lot more sense of the styling.
Miss Congeniality is definitely better than this, you know, by far, I'd say. But even though that's a goofy film, too.
Yeah, it's just, so all I can say is, like, this film, because I couldn't find much to like about it, but I just didn't end up hating it, I was just mildly bored throughout most of this film. So I will give it 3 out of 10. 3 out of 10 secret gay best friends.
Really?
Okay, so I got to ask this too. Was that supposed to be a twist at the end when the guy reveals himself to be gay?
I think it was just another throw something at the wall, see if it sticks.
Yeah, because I think I missed something. Humor. I assume that was foreshadowed before, but I don't remember any lines of dialogue hinting when this character reveals himself.
Well, that's
to be gay.
Well, that's the thing. All these characters are flamboyant enough to, if they were in real life, to be stereotypical gay people. Like it's so so it's like it doesn't land as foreshadowing.
Yeah, it really didn't add much to this. So Ben, what's your final rating for this?
I give it 1.5 dropped pizzas that they then have to recook, and so you're sitting there in the pizzeria longer. So, out of 10. So,
when the romantic subplot with the old couple is more interesting than your main characters, you know you have a problem.
Yeah, there was the beginnings of an interesting story there where, you know, this older couple sneaks away to meet at a Starbucks because they know none of their traditional Italian friends and relatives will be there. And, you know, she discovers she's obsessed with Starbucks coffee.
Because apparently you only eat pizza in this universe.
Yeah, apparently. It's the pizza diet. Yeah, and so there's the beginnings of an interesting thing there. But again, but played as ham-fistedly as everything else. And just something you'd wish you'd seen in a better film. So, yeah.
Yeah, thinking about the pizza too. Like, freaking, for as much pizza as they eat, because apparently you only eat pizza in this place, how the frick are Hayden Christensen and Emma Roberts so thin in this movie? Like, seriously, their whole figure.
Exactly.
Yeah, because, like, there's so much pizza in this movie. They have, like, 17 or 30 pizzas throughout this whole film. You know, thin as a rail the entire time.
Yeah. It's, I mean, there are, like I said, there are 6 different strippers at a pizza cook-off competition. And so that's the film you're watching. And so
yeah, I guess it's better than watching actual people with that body size, like big flabby bodies dancing around in bikinis.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's not the typical person on the pizza diet dancing at the pizza competition. So there's a plus there. I'll give them that artistic license. But yeah. This one's rough. This will not sit in theaters very long. So if for some reason you want to see this in theaters, you better hustle.
So yeah, after all these good movies you watched with me and Ethan, now you know what it's like to watch all these other movies when it's not just the good films.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Man, some of these screenings. Yeah. I think, what does it have on Rotten Tomatoes right now? Let me see.
It's at 14% on Rotten Tomatoes.
14%, yikes.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.